Bibles and open them to Joshua chapter 4. We're going to get back to Genesis next week. Today I want to do just a special message about the need to remember on this Memorial Day. Joshua chapter 4. We're going to get to that eventually. Most of my message is probably the introduction. But it's going to be good. It's going to be good. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for the privilege and opportunity to open the Word of God and how we can learn from it and be taught, and how your Holy Spirit can work in each one of us individually and with the same text teach different lessons. So we ask that you will do your work. Help us to be open and humble. Help us to hear your voice. Help me to get out of the way and Christ be exalted. In Jesus' name, amen. So how's your memory? How is your memory these days? Now, I'm sure all of us get frustrated at the occasional, where are my glasses, right? The ones sitting on top of your head. Or wondering where the keys are at. Anyone have a key search every now and then in your house, or am I the only one? You know, it's one thing to forget where your keys are, where your glasses are. It's a whole nother thing to have your glasses and not have a clue what they're for. Right? I think that's the difference between just being forgetful and more serious mental health issues. According to the National Institute on Aging, there are dangers to not remembering, as you can well imagine. Dementia patients are often unable, they say, to protect themselves from dangers all around them. All because we don't remember. Now, I want to propose to you today that as more Americans seem to be moving away from God in so many different ways, we're actually developing what I would call a spiritual dementia in America this day. Back in 1995, BARDA did a survey that revealed that only 12% of Americans, can you believe it, 12% of the Americans in that survey actually shared a biblical worldview. You thought that was low? He did a recent one. He has a book out, actually. It's an interesting book to buy back in 2020. That survey showed that now America, only 6% have a biblical worldview. For years, we've been saying 50%, 60%, but as they started to ask different questions and dig in a little bit deeper, they're finding out people really don't know much about God or the Bible. The numbers were always actually much, much lower. That didn't mean people didn't go to church. It's just saying that, I guess, sort of like what Rachel was telling us a little bit. People have an identity to something, maybe the denomination or whatever, but they don't know God, and they don't know His Word, and they don't know His will as they ought. But it seems like our nation doesn't remember God very well, or God's Word, or God's blessing on this country. The Lord warned Israel about this, didn't he? More than once. You don't have to turn because I got you in Joshua, but in Deuteronomy chapter 8, that whole chapter is amazing about charging Israel. It's the importance of remembering. I just want to read just two verses from it. 18 and 19 of Deuteronomy 8 says, "You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may confirm His covenant that He swore to your fathers, as it is to this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish." That's pretty strong words. God places a pretty high priority on remembering, doesn't He? Did you know that the word remember, if you just did a quick Google on it in the Bible, on a Bible app, just that particular word pops up 240 times. Now, we're taught in Bible study methods, right? If God repeats something, you really need to pay attention to it. What if He repeats it 240 times? Think about that. And that's just the word remember. That's not forms of the word remember, nor other phrases of remember, which actually mean to remember, like don't forget the Lord your God, which is really being remembering. So you got to imagine, you got to add at least another 240 to that. There are hundreds and hundreds of times where this word comes up all through the text. Remembering God honors God. And it's not just an intellectual exercise. Oh, yeah, I remember God. I remember what Jesus did. Yeah, Jesus was born a virgin. Jesus grew and taught, and Jesus died on the cross and rose again. I remember that. I remember that. So that's kind of an intellectual exercise right now I'm doing for you. But what impact does it have in our life? So remembering is more than just that. It really leads, if you read Deuteronomy 8, which we're not going to get into today, it leads to grateful worship. Now, when we think of worship, we think of things like, you know, what the choir was leading us in worship, and it's true. But I'm thinking as I hear these testimonies from these young adults, that's worship too. What they're doing, what God's doing in their life, and how they're sharing that with us. And I got just to say this out to all you folks here that might be listening, watching, or whatever, or hear it later, or as you could go out and testify. If you want to come here, this is my mission. Hopefully our church's mission is to get our kids to know God and to make Him known throughout the world. Which means if we can, we're going to send them out to the four corners of the earth. That's what we're going to do. If that's what you're after, if that's what you want, if that's the priority of what you want your kids and your children and your teenagers and your young adults to know God and to make Him known, then I pray this is the place for you. I pray this is it. I'm excited to see our kids going out. I say kids because, man, when I remember them, they were that kind of a thing, right? Sure, they're all our kids. And what they're doing, we're just so excited for it. And we've got a whole new crop coming up, and we got our new youth pastor coming this week. So praise the Lord for that. Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. So Deuteronomy 8 really gives us this whole thing about honoring God develops grateful worship. That's what remembering will do. I don't know about you, but there's certain songs. Are you here? Are you with me? Are there certain songs? Now, I don't know what those songs are. For you, it might be a hymn of the faith. It might be something you heard when you came to Christ, or maybe when you were in college, you heard a song, a worship song, and it was really special to you. Are there certain songs when that song is sung, you're right there crying right away? Amen. Why? Because you remember. You remember what God had done for you. You remember, you're taken back to that moment. It's as if it was yesterday. And you remember. And there's certain songs I just can't get through. When I hear the intros, I'm done. I try to sing. I don't know what my face looks like, and the choir's looking at me, what is wrong with him? But it's just, that's what it does. That's what it does. And in Deuteronomy 8, that's the whole idea, development of this worship and a response to true worship, thankfulness to God, remembering what He had done. If you remember what God has done for you, you're going to live a life of grateful worship, not just on Sunday, it's every day, 24/7. And that's what's happening here. Throughout the Bible as well, there's not just grateful worship, but there's intentional acts. And Deuteronomy 8 speaks of this. So we've got this whole thing of remembering. What does it do? It creates an attitude of grateful worship in our lives. But also, if you read through that chapter, what does it do? It creates a culture of obedience to God. That's what I mean about intellectual exercise. It's more than just that. You can't just say, well, I remember what God did. Thank you, Jesus. No, it does something that motivates us to serve Him and to love Him and to obey His commandments. That's what it does. That's how you know if you're really grateful. Not just thanks so much, Lord, what you did for me, but because of what you did have done for me, I am going to serve you with all my heart, soul, and mind. I'm going to love you, Lord, with all my heart, soul, and mind. So that's the idea here of remembering. It honors God. It's more than an intellectual exercise. It's grateful worship all our lives, and it's the idea that leads to obedience, to service to Christ. Now, throughout the Bible as well, I'm trying to think about Memorial Day, Memorial Day. Do we see Memorial Day in the Bible? Well, not as we necessarily celebrate it today, but yeah, it is in there. There are several passages all throughout the Scriptures that really honor people who are recognized for their acts of service in God's army. We have these individuals and all their exploits. Some of them are just listed. All you and I get is a name. We don't really know what they did. But then every once in a while, there's some where they actually say what the person did in how they are being honored. For example, in 2 Samuel 23, King David, before he dies, he actually has a list going. Do you know that? His mighty men, you've heard of that list, right? Maybe you've read it yourself. Now, this is a collection of guys. When he's running from Saul, he feels like he's all by himself, right? And then God just brings all these people to him, encouraging him and say, I will stand next to you. You ever been there when you absolutely felt alone? Maybe even abandoned by those who were supposed to be your friends. And God brings people to you, and they stand next to you. They're going to walk with you through the valley. And maybe you put yourself there, and maybe that's why others left. But you can tell what a true friend is when you've done something really bad, and the ones that are running to you are your friends. And David had that experience. And what does he do? He has his own memorial day. He gets out his pen. He says, and I'm going to list them by name. I think that's what's exciting. If you read 2 Samuel 23, those are names of people there. You could actually see their names are written down, and he honors them. In the New Testament, we have the example of Hebrews chapter 11, right? The hero chapter, amen? It's good to see those folks. They are really encouraging. So here are men and women who sacrificed themselves. Many of those folks, if you read the 11th chapter there, sacrificed by their lives. They gave it for the cross. They gave it for God, for Christ. And they tell the story, some of them. And we know some of the stories. Then we have to go back in the Old Testament with some of them to figure out, okay, who in the world is this person again? And you read it and the exploits of what they did. So yes, there is precedent in the scriptures that Memorial Day is exactly something we should be practicing. So I'm glad to be a part of it today. Even if it's just remembering a few things, but I want to focus a little bit in now on, it gives us, we're finally to Joshua. Woo, okay. But I just want you to see this precedent for Memorial Day. God does honor his servants. Yes, we honor our Savior, but even our Savior honors his servants. So it's appropriate. Joshua chapter 4. Hey, let's read one. I'll read out loud. You can follow along in the first seven verses here. It says, when all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, bring them over with you and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, pass on before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. And when your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. Several things that pop out of that great passage there. First is that this memorial service that they're supposed to have, an ongoing one, was a personal work that men were supposed to do, men and women, I suppose you could say. But did you catch it? Each of you take a stone. There was personal responsibility involved in this. It wasn't just showing up. So here we have men carrying their stone. Now, I'm not going to pick up any big stone around here or instrument, but I want you to think of the effort that it takes. What are we talking about when we're talking about a stone? That stone is a story. It's the story of God. He's wanting them to remember him and his acts towards them and all that he's done and all that he's promised through the covenant that he's going to do. So that takes some effort on our part. I got to tell you, on my end, I don't always give a very good effort. I remember early on, I had a great teacher in fourth grade, one of my favorite teachers. She really pressed us to do diaries. I wanted nothing to do with it. I mean, all I could think about in fourth grade is she's whatever she was, blah, 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 was looking out the window wondering when I could go play football or baseball, right? I mean, that happens. And so I kind of passed up on that. It takes effort to do something like that. As I got old enough, I realized, man, I kind of wished I had done that now. I don't remember all the things that happened back then as clearly as I would like to and what all the things God had done for me. And so now, it's going to take a bit of an effort. So these men are told, instructed to take a stone. And that stone is a story. And each tribe has their own story of how God blessed them. And it took some personal effort, but also it was a community effort earlier on in chapter 4. It talks about all together there to lay them down. It was a collective story. Now you got to see what this is building up to. You know what it's coming to. We're passing the knowledge of God onto the next generation. It is not just a personal thing, but it begins there. We are so glad to be able to instruct your children and your teens and your young adults. But according to the Word of God, the first and the primary, the frontline soldier is mom and dad in the home. And here we have, right away, this personal effort. Each tribe, you do your thing. You teach your particular children. But then there's this community thing as well that we remember together. Because guess what? You got a great story. You have an awesome story. You have a story. I don't have that story. You've got something to share with my kid. You've got something to pass on to our children. You over here, you guys got a story, a stone that God has done something in your life amazing, probably a lot of things amazing. I need to hear that story to help build up the body of Christ so it's prepared for the works of service. And here he's saying it is not just a personal work, it's a community effort. All of us together working. Why do you think we push Sunday school? Why do you think we push Awana, small groups? Why do you think we push these things? Because they allow the story of God's people to be shared and spread among all of us. It's important. Is your stone back at home? If it is, why? I'm going to ask you to do something this week. I'm going to ask you to go home and take that stone and bring it here and stack it up. What has God done for you? I need to hear that. You don't know what your story might do for my heart. You don't know. I don't know where you're at. You might be really down. In fact, my story may seem like I have absolutely nothing to do with your situation. And yet, as I declare the goodness of God and remember what he has done for me, that could encourage another believer in the faith and rise them up out of the heap of ashes they feel like they're in. Your story can do that. God understood this. He understood we don't have very good memories. We forget where our glasses and our keys are all the time. But he understood that it could also have a more serious dementia sort of thing. We put ourselves in danger spiritually when we don't remember the Lord our God. We must remember. But what are these stories? Well, he kind of lays that out in Joshua, but in chapter 4, it's a miracle story. I mean, think about it. We had a crazy youth pastor in West Palm Beach. Oh, my. He was a great guy. I remember one day after we had an outdoor evangelistic crusade each year for several weeks, and we had an outdoor amphitheater right on the intercoastal waterway. Can you imagine trying? And the pastor was on the in the prow. The pulpit was a boat, and he got up on the front of the boat, and that's where where we preached from. But behind him were million-dollar homes and million-dollar yachts going up and down. It was very hard to listen to him. It was gorgeous. But I remember after having, I don't know, 40 or 50 people come to faith in Christ, as it was all over with and the people had prayed and were leaving, all of a sudden, we had this, the baptistry was about this size, literally. It was huge. But there was also water that led from it all the way. It would have been past where that wall is. It'd probably been twice as long. So it was a long, a lot of water. And after it was all over with, thousands of people around there, and service is over. Of course, he has triple ADHD times four. So he just had to be himself. And so when it was all over, he jumps in the water. He's in his suit. He jumps in his water, and he goes up and down, and he's walking down here, and people look at him. He just yells really loud, "I don't understand it. It worked the other day. I just don't have enough faith." Walking on the water, folks, is supposed to be funny. That's the best I could do. You know, and I'm thinking, you guys have a story. I don't know about walking on water, but God's done miracles in your life. Whether you realize it or not, I think he probably does a lot of miracles we don't even realize. We don't have no clue how our bodies function, how they fight infections, how he works things out. Oh, this girl just happened to show up at her table, happened to show up again. Really? No, God is working miracles all over, all the time. He's in that business. These are miracle stories. These stones are your stories, acts of what happened in your life. They're visual reminders. I think that's important. So as you and I are telling these stories, we're going to get into this in a minute, but I just wanted to encourage you to have something visual, that they can look at it. Oh, yeah, I remember what God did just by looking at that. Now, some of us, it could be pictures, right? Those are great. Don't limit yourself to just pictures, though. Maybe there's something that happened that you can, I don't know what it be. But I do know that God wanted stones there. It wasn't just that the story would be passed. I think he understood that we are creatures that don't always remember even what he tells us to remember. So the stones were to help us to pass the word on. Those are the sort of things that we need to do as we pass on. So I would ask you today, as you're going to now, I hope, get energized and make it a culture in your home, no matter how old you are, you can start right now, how young you are. What are you going to do? What's going to be your stones in your house? I want to come see them. I want to see what those things are. Maybe for one of you, it could be a boot framed, hanging on a wall. Wouldn't that be a conversational piece? I think that's exactly what God's talking about here, a conversational piece. You're going to have people walking in, you're going to, why in the world do you have you framed that old boot? And you could say, oh, I'm glad you asked. When I was in Vietnam, and then you go tell that story, God protected me. I didn't even know him. I mocked him. My language is definitely not honoring to God. I should have been dead 10 times over. You see that hole right there? That's bullets coming up from the ground from when I was in a helicopter. And I wasn't touched because God had me and he saved me. That boot's about God's grace and mercy in my life. And I want to share that with you. You see how this works? I know when I come to your house, most of you, and have been a lot of your homes, you have these beautiful things that, and we do the same thing, beautiful frame pictures. But who has a boot framed, right? Or an old glove, or who knows? How about a ticket somewhere? What would a ticket do? I don't know what that could be. God protecting you, something that happened. I've told you that crazy story about Dawn's last trip to the Dallas Zoo before we moved up here to Kokomo, where they literally had just left when that gorilla was aggravated by the teens. Remember that? Throwing rocks at it, and he leaped over the unescapable cage he was in, and started going on a rampage, and they had to kill the gorilla. So this was around, what, 2007? Okay, so why do you have this ticket here for? I don't get that. Oh, yeah, I remember Mom or Grandma. I remember, this is your Grandma, you guys hear that? So this is years. Tell them a story about how God protected them. What's your stones? Where do you have these things? What are they? And what kind of stones are they? It's not just stones of always having necessary to relate to salvation. It's just God's blessing in your life. Daily things, provision. I got a letter. I don't know where it's at, and I need to frame it. Probably going to say, why would you frame it, an old letter up there? Because that was a time when God really met a need in our life when I was in seminary. When you go to seminary, you're poor. And you literally, it's not always a fun place to be, but it's a fun place to be because you see what God does. I got this check in the mail right before semester from an uncle. You know the story. I hadn't talked in 10, 20 years. Significant amount of money to cover my tuition. Stories. God knew we needed to share these stories because we need encouragement. We need to remember that He's a covenant God. He's going to take care of us. What He says He's going to do. You say, well, I didn't do very well on this thing. I messed up. Where was God? God was there. Maybe God has something else for you. In fact, maybe God saved you from something that you didn't even have a clue was going to happen, and so you poured all your effort and energy into getting this or this position or whatever it is, and then God just put you somewhere else, and it's where you needed to be. So then you could take that thing, and you go, you know what? I didn't do very well, and I'm going to put, how many people put up failing grades somewhere? Do that in America, right? We need to put down these stones. I want to do such stone right now. And this is a new story for me, hopefully for you. Since it is Memorial Day, I thought, I want to dig up someone who was a hero. Someone who died for their country. I don't know if you've heard of the name John Robert Fox. Here's his story. During the Second World War, countless Allied soldiers put their lives on the line for the good of their country. Others simply offered themselves up in order to save their comrades. But still, even in this time of true heroism, the story of John Robert Fox, remember that name, we honor him, stands out. The artillery officer added his names to his history books and it earned him a posthumous Medal of Honor for the sacrifices that he made on a day in December 1944, thousands of miles from home. Fox was born in Cincinnati, Ohio in May of 1915, and by all accounts, he was a very smart, diligent young man, and he earned a place at Wilberforce University. Here he signed up for the Reserve Officer Training Corps, meaning that he not only finished college with a graduate degree, but with the rank of second lieutenant. And when the war broke out then, he took the commission and he joined the 92nd Infantry Division. That was a segregated division for African American soldiers that fought with distinction throughout the conflict. And with his unit, Fox was sent to the European Theater of War. In 1944, he found himself fighting the Nazis in Italy. It was here where, in December of that year, he was tasked to stay behind in a small village in Tuscany. That village had been overrun by the Nazis, and the Americans were in retreat. Fox found a house to hide in, and from the second floor, he used his radio to contact his colleagues. He called for artillery fire to be directed at the village in order to give the U.S. forces that were trying to retreat time to get out alive, regroup, and launch a counterattack. The gunner who received the message from Fox pointed out to him that there must be a mistake because he gave them an order to barrage fire on his exact position. The gunner received it and says, "It's got to be a mistake." Fox simply said this. These were his last words. "Fire it! There are more of them than there are of us." When the U.S. Army entered, after he had given them that successful time to regroup and launch the counterattack, which was successful, when they entered, they found Fox's body. It was around hundreds of Germans. It wasn't until 1997, however, that his bravery was recognized with a Medal of Honor. And we are thankful to John Robert Fox for saving the lives of hundreds of Americans and Allied troops fighting the war of evil in 1944. I think it's right for us to honor those men like that and women who do those things. And you think about that, that gives you goosebumps. But as we do that, we must always go to the story of Jesus. Jesus Christ, who said, "Greater love has no man than this, than someone laid down his life for his friends," told us that we are his friends. Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture. He was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the Scripture. And no one forced him to die, and we didn't kill God. You can't kill God. You do know that, right? All that they did to him should have killed him long before he got to the cross. Couldn't kill him. The beating he took for you and me didn't kill him. Crucifixion, by its own design, was to humiliate and keep a prisoner alive or a person alive for days. They couldn't kill him. He willingly gave up his life for you and for me. That's what he did. There are a lot of stories about Jesus. You can read them yourself. But the greatest story is this, that he died for me. And he rose again. He destroyed once and for all that sin and hell held over us. It lost all its power. And he offers you and I a new identity, eternal life. You certainly could have been all that horrible person or whatever it is in your past, but when Christ comes in and gives you a new life, you are a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become new. And if you're tired of living in what you were, today's your day to remember what Christ did and live in who you are. You are a son of God. It's appropriate we remember our Lord, because by remembering our Lord, and it's appropriate by we remember John Fox and other men and women like that, because by remembering them, we are just not intellectually stimulated, we are motivated. We are inspired to move forward with gracious, very gracious worship to our God and a never-ending desire to obey his commands. So I want you and I today to make a decision right now. Everybody, let's decide we're going to fight against memory loss. We're going to fight against spiritual memory loss, and today is our declaration day. You and I are going to start collecting those items and start telling those stories of the great God, our King and Savior, Jesus Christ, and what he's done. Why? So that if the Lord tarries and our children come and say, "What in the world is that ugly boot hanging in the wall?" you will tell them that the waters of the Jordans in your life didn't cut you off from the promised covenant of God to get you to the promised land. He dried it up. He put aside your enemies so that you could walk in newness of life. Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessing of this Memorial Day. We all have so many stories to tell of your goodness to us. And many of us remember so many sacrifices that people have made. It's not all in wartime, but the sacrifices of their lives to help this nation under God move forward. Lord, we cry out to you today and pray for our nation who's not remembering very well as a group. I know there's individuals and many here today that would honor and lift up the name of God, lift up the name of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and give praise to you and honor you. But as a whole, our nation has gone the wrong direction. And we cry out and ask for your forgiveness, dear God. We have sinned against you. And when we don't remember, you made it very clear to Israel, when they don't remember, surely some serious things are coming their way. And they're happening in our country. But Lord God, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, and I will hear from heaven, and I will heal the land. It begins with us, though, the people of God. Let judgment begin here. Help us to tell these stories. Help us to take these stones, to stack them, and to share what Christ has done for us. And be thankful for your servants who have sacrificed so much for the freedoms we enjoy. To the glory of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, if there's anyone here today that has entrusted you, I pray even now, Father, they would open up their heart, realize that you love them so much, you sent Christ, your Son, to die on the cross to pay for the penalty for their sins. And he did. And he rose again. And through that sacrifice, Lord, we're able to have eternal life, sins forgiven. If they haven't received that, Lord, I pray this would be their day to repent, to turn away from whatever it is they're trusting in and to trust in Jesus alone for their salvation, and to call upon the name of the Lord, and they shall be saved. To simply cry out, "Father, forgive me. I know that I'm a sinner. I'm trusting in Jesus now, your Son, who died for me and my sin, the sins of the whole world, and rose again, and I believe in him. Trusting him to save me." And I pray that each one of us would take that message wherever we're working, wherever we're living, and be a stone of remembrance. In Jesus' name, amen.